Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. I am still Amber.
I'm Valerie.
Gotcha.
Wow, okay.
Well, I ended up getting to thinking for those who have just started listening to us, we've actually been on air for 4 months now. And that's kind of something to think about in terms of a new podcast. It doesn't seem like that long, but it is actually quite a while, considering we're every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bi-weekly is not bad.
I think it's all we can manage.
And still be somewhat sane.
Yes, and to also have a life and be able to get everything else done that we're working on.
Right. But speaking of being the fourth month, happy May 4th to everyone. About the time that this releases, it'll be May 4th, unofficial Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
There you go. She got it. Yay. I train her well.
Well, since people will end up being serious on the 4th, then they go out and party on the 5th, because that's Cinco de Mayo.
That's also free comic book day.
And then they can sleep in the next day.
Exactly. It'll be an awesome weekend.
It would be good for cosplay.
No kidding. Actually,
you know, Star Wars is cosplay, and you can cosplay Cinco de Mayo too. So.
True. And I don't know if you've seen this, but Half Price Books in Dallas is having what they call a Geekend. And they're having a costume contest for Star Wars, anime, all that type of stuff at some of their hot stores in Dallas.
I have not heard of that.
Yeah, I just saw it on their Facebook page the other day, and I was like, huh, this could be interesting or a giant mess.
I'm tempted to go down there just with a camera. Not cosplay, just with a camera.
Just to see.
Just take pictures and talk with people, because we're a cosplay podcast. What else are we here for except to cover cosplay?
Exactly. And with Saturday being free comic book day throughout the United States, it's probably going to be littered with people dressed in costumes anyway.
Oh, yeah. We're nerds. We're here. Get used to it. I apologize to the audience in advance. I'm dead tired because, for those who don't know, I actually work 2 jobs. And my other job is as a symphony musician. And we just had a very, very, very intensive concert. And I just got home like an hour and a half ago. So I'm like, dead tired. And of course, I took my cosplay with me to the hotel to work on. That's how dedicated I am. I took it with me to the hotel when I was not practicing and sitting there working on it. And then I come home and it's sitting right there awaiting my attention. There is no rest for the cosplayer.
We got only a month left, so.
Only.
We gotta keep working in tooling.
Only.
You get an extra week. I don't.
Yeah, but I'm also gonna be working during that week. Working my tushy off, thank you very much.
Right.
So I have to make up for that time I'm not gonna be there, because we have Monday off. Monday of that final week is Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one more day of work that I'm not doing that I have to catch up on the next day.
Yeah, same here. Having a real job sucks.
So speaking of working, perhaps you should tell the audience where we are now. It has been 2 weeks since our last episode.
Right.
How far have you gotten on your projects?
Hang on. Let me look at over my floor over here. I don't really have a cosplay space. Like, I just posted this on my Facebook page today. My space is like a 5x5 square next to the door of my room.
Ah.
And that's about it. So whenever I do anything, it's on my floor. I don't have a nice fancy crafting table like Amber does.
My table isn't fancy. It's a standard folding table that you take camping.
Yeah, you have a table. I don't have a table. I can't put a table anywhere.
I have to have a table because I don't want to sit there working on all of my cosplay, and throughout my career, my back just kind of hunches over more and more, and then I end up being able to cosplay an old woman realistically.
I'm okay with that, actually.
I'm not. I have to be able to stand up and work.
Take breaks. It's not like I'm doing this the entire time. I take breaks.
Well, yes, but see, I would be taking breaks every 5 minutes. My back does not tolerate, sitting hunched over at a table very long.
Yeah, all the years of good posture has been kicking in and saving me, thank goodness. I've actually been in the process of doing a lot of resin and gem casting lately, and they're all done 2 weeks ahead of schedule because the weather's been really nice outside and not insanely humid and melting everything.
For
So.
those who don't know, to cast resin, humidity actually makes it take longer.
And makes it a lot worse and gooey and sticky and ugly.
Yeah, it doesn't actually cure, so this is one of the benefits of living in Texas. It's bone
Yippee.
dry.
Yeah.
But at least it helps.
It helps sometimes and then it fails on other times, so toss up. So on the one hand, I'm really happy that almost all of my accessories are done for two costumes that I've got going on. Now it's just down to actual sewing and waiting on fabric to come in.
Now, are these your costumes for Fanime or Akon?
Akon.
Okay.
Nothing new is going to Fanime because I just won't have time to finish it.
I understand.
I won't have time to finish it for Akon afterwards. It'll be 2 days of work and then, oh, time to go. But yeah, they're moving along pretty smoothly. This month is going to be about trying to be relaxed and stress-free while I'm doing everything. Because after last month, I was about ready to go kill some things and punt some kittens out the window or something. It's true. You laugh
Nope,
at me.
no comment.
What about your project? Because I know that you forgot to take scissors with you.
Yeah, I forgot to take scissors with me to the hotel. All I took was a seam ripper. I didn't think about scissors. I wasn't thinking about very much except for making sure I had my instrument with me. And clean underwear and pajamas this time.
Very important,
But
yes.
which is a good thing, no matter where you're traveling to.
Always clean underwear.
Yeah, I ended up actually losing a week of being able to work on my cosplay because I was given my music fairly late in the game, so I had to spend what precious free time I had practicing music instead of working on my cosplay.
Right.
So that said, I am actually a little bit behind. A little, but still, slightly behind considering that, like you, the week before the next major convention, I'm working all week.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, I have a full-time job, plus I end up working out at the gym. And so I only get a couple free hours a night to work on cosplay, which I'm sure a lot of cosplayers, are very well acquainted with having limited free time at night to be able to work on your projects and
Right.
sleep adequately.
Sleep,
But
what's that?
sleep adequately.
Sleep does not exist.
Well, if sleep is for the weak, I'm all for being weak.
Yeah, it's a figment of our imagination.
But needless to say, I have gotten the majority done what I need to get done as far as my cosplay for my big cosplay, for
That's
my
good.
stage cosplay.
That's
So
good.
I've gotten most of that done. I've gotten the light up bits pretty much all worked out. I have my part of my other project is sitting right here behind me awaiting my attention. Hopefully it does not fall over now that I've moved it.
We probably should say what the heck we're cosplaying because we're talking about this and people are like, what the crap?
That is true. Although I'm not going to say what I'm doing for the stage contest,
I'll say what I'm doing
but
down
I'm
here.
willing to give the other ones. But you may go first.
Okay, the ones that I'm doing for the stage contest, her name is Lady Lilith from Final Fantasy XI, which I'll put a picture up right now. And the other one is going to be Hot Ice Hilda from Outlaw Star, which I'm super excited about. I got the wig done. I love the wig. Oh my God.
We'll probably need pictures of each of these
Oh
characters
yeah,
for
the
those
pictures are
who
going to be
haven't seen them.
flying up.
Yeah, for those who don't know who they are.
Yeah, I do obscure characters, so I would not be surprised.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nah, that's what I'm good at.
Is that what you're bringing to Akon? Anything, any alternate costumes?
Oh, there's going to be a bunch of other crap too, but those are the ones I'm working on. I'm going to be in so many costumes over the weekend, and between this and the Cospod stuff, man.
yeah. See, I'm only working on one at the moment, and it's my stage cosplay.
Right.
Although I did actually find out this past weekend that I am switching out one of my cosplays. I was going to bring Sode no Shirayuki, which is one of the characters from Bleach. Of course, everybody and their brother has cosplayed Bleach or will at some point. But
I
thankfully,
haven't.
you will at some point.
Probably not.
But I was really happy to see that there's a couple of Saint Seiya cosplayers coming to Akon this year. And Saint Seiya is a fairly old shonen anime.
It's become really popular lately with cosplays. Like the la at Matsuri, I saw at least six or seven. So I was like, "Holy crap! What happened?"
Actually, a new, not knockoff, but a new kind of alternate form of the series just started airing.
Oh, okay, that
Overseas.
makes sense.
Saint Seiya Omega just started airing. It's not canon, but it is kind of a side story,
Right.
and it's apparently become very popular very quickly. So there's a lot of cosplayers turning back to the classics and going, "Oh, hey, I should have a second look at this." So instead of bringing
Right.
Sode no Shirayuki, I'm going to bring back Athena, which means that as soon as I get slight amounts of free time, I have to, work on prepping that one because I wasn't originally planning on bringing it. And there are always things about our cosplays that we wish we could do better, that we wish
Yes.
we could fix. This is one of those times where there are a couple things where, yeah, I could bring it as is, but there's a couple things that I really want to fix before bringing it again.
Right.
So between the two of those, I should be pretty well set. I'm also bringing Umi Ryuzaki. She's one of the characters from Magic Knight Rayearth, another ancient anime. I like old school anime, sue me.
Yeah, I do too, so don't feel bad.
But I ended up actually almost completely redoing that costume. And I was fairly happy with how it turned out. It looks a lot more professional. It fits better, more comfortable. All good things with cosplay. And then once Akon is done, I'm not touching my sewing machine for a month.
It'll be break time, not
Yes.
doing anything.
Yes. Although I'm really tempted to start working on some other minor cosplay things, both for Anime Fest, which I know isn't until September. I know. But there's also a new cosplay convention that's coming to Dallas, the final weekend, I believe, of September. I want to say it's the 27th through 29th, that's being held at the Crowne Plaza. And I want to say it's sponsored by one of the Dallas cosplay area groups. I forget which one it is. We'll put the information up on our website. And it looks really neat because it's a convention for cosplayers by cosplayers.
Oh.
You can go in and be all geeky. You can
As
talk to
if we
people.
don't already do that.
Yeah, but normally with any sort of geek culture, if you talk to somebody who's not part of it, you'll see their eyes kind of glaze over and it'll go straight over their head and they'll look at you like,
Or
yeah.
they'll start pointing and laughing and making fun of you.
That comes afterward when your back's turned.
Oh, no. It's happened to me in front of my face. What are you talking about?
Normally, they'd usually wait until I turned my back.
No. Not all of them.
It's okay. It doesn't bother me that much. Not anymore.
It's our lifestyle.
But yeah, that is what we are madly, busily working on. And I know that's probably not grammatically correct what I just said.
Who cares?
I don't care.
Who cares?
All right, so on to our segments.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get this show rolling.
Yep, let's go.
Okay, cosplayers, we're going to be going over how to make boot covers. Now, boot covers can be either your best friend or the bane of your existence. Trying to find the perfect cosplay shoes is a big challenge, especially since a lot of characters wear really crazy, outrageous shoe designs. And most people tend to just buy boots that they can find in the store and just go with it. But a lot of those costumes where you want that special look, that you want to make sure you get everything just right, you're going to need to either make your own shoes or make your own shoe covers. So what this tutorial is going to do is show you how to make a basic shoe or boot cover that can be used for both stretchy and non-stretchy fabric. On the screen, I'm going to have a list of all the materials that you need so we can get right on into it. Say One thing you definitely want to make sure is you either have a base or muslin. I just use leftover scrap fabric that I have. That'll be the length of my shoe. Now for your shoe base, you want to go with something that's going to be the general shape and size of your toe and your heel. And in this case, this is actually going to benefit me because I needed a full length boot. And where this cuts me off right below my knee, it'll work just fine for what I need. Now, it probably helps to have a friend with this process, but if you're by yourself, that works too. What you want to do is first put the shoe or the boot on. And please forgive the whiteness of my wonderful, wonderful leg. And then from there, you want to take your scrap fabric. Cutting it in half kind of helps in this process. And then drape it over the shoe or the boot. And then you want to do this on the other side. Like so. Take out your pins and then start pinning them together. As you see, this is going to take a while, so I'll definitely speed through this process in the video format. Because really, do you want to see me spend 20 minutes pinning this thing? Probably not. Something to try to kind of keep in mind is that this is your quote-unquote muslin base, so if you want to make mistakes, this is the perfect time to do it. Once you cut your fabric, there is no going back. Okay, so hopefully you guys can see that, but this is the final boot cover once everything's been pinned in together. Now from here, what I like to do is I like to take a Sharpie. You can use tailor's chalk. I mean, this is just your pattern. It doesn't matter what kind of marker you use. And then I like to go over where I pinned everything. I tend to do it on the inside, and then I usually cut an extra quarter of an inch to half an inch on the outside. But this will give a rough pattern to what I'm trying to do. And then you need to do this on the other side as well. It's probably not very easy to see on the video, but the final output will make more sense. Now the reason that I'm doing this is because my base fabric is not stretchy, so if I try to take my boot off right now, the pins are just going to fall off, and that kind of defeats the purpose of this. So I can easily unpin all of this and then cut out the shape without having to worry. All right. So now we got that done, now we can unpin everything. Okay, the next thing that I like to do is I like to mark my pattern as to what side of the foot this is on. So in this case, this is going to be my right foot, the inside, and then when we flip it over, this is the right foot on the outside. So that when I'm cutting it, and then when I'm flipping it over again, for when I move the pattern to my final product, it makes things a lot easier. All right, don't need the boot anymore for now. Okay, and now we are moving on to cutting it. And again, just because I do this out of habit, I always cut a little bit larger than what I need to. If you have stretchy fabric and you want to use that as your base, feel free to do so, because I am cheap and I know that fabric, like stretchy fabric, is expensive. I don't like to use it unless I really need to. There you go. Here is one portion of the boot pattern. And as you can see, it drapes over pretty nicely on top of the areas that I needed it to drape. I'm not as concerned so much about the heel. The heel can be easily wrapped and repaired. And as you can see, I made it large enough that it's not going to be that big of a deal. Of course, the next step is going to be moving it onto your pattern after you've cut it out. And because I cut out so much excess of it, I don't need to worry about seam allowance here on the blue itself. I can just use the seam allowance that I created on my pattern. And then once that is all done, I'm going to show you photos of sewing. Because sewing itself is boring and you don't need to watch me doing that. But basically the areas that you're going to be sewing are this front seam and then this back seam. If you're doing it out of stretchy fabric, you can sew everywhere that you see that I have a black line. If you're doing this out of normal fabric, the best thing to do would be to sew the front and then underneath and then up to about the back top of your heel. You want to leave this section open for your closure, and you can use zippers or snaps or whatever floats your boat. It just makes it easier for you to get in and out of your boot and to keep it a close, tight fit without the fabric flopping over or you literally tearing the fabric apart because you can't walk in them. As you're sewing, you may want to check it out and make sure that everything is fitting correctly. So don't be afraid to put the shoe on and then try the shoe cover and see, okay, do I have too much extra fabric here? Do I need to pin more here? Do I need to let it out here? You're going to have to do a lot of give and take and try a couple of things just to make sure that everything fits accordingly. If you're using stretchy fabric, more than likely you'll be doing a lot of extra pinning just to make sure you get a nice tight fit that you're looking for. With any type of non-stretchy material, just keep in mind that you're going to be either using snaps or buttons or a zipper of some sort to close that back end. But as I said, don't be afraid of trying a couple of things and taking your time with making your boot cover just to make sure that it fits you the way that you intend for it to.
All right, wonderful segment. Applause, applause, applause.
That's so cheesy.
Are cheesy people. We go around dressed as cartoon characters. What more do you want?
I can't argue with that one. Okay, you win. I concede.
Well, for this week's Cost Philosophy segment, we actually have something that is fairly timely, which is kind of odd for our Cost Philosophy segments because they don't always make sense. It's weather philosophy.
Yep.
But we will be talking this week about weight in cosplay. Weight as in body mass. And
weight, not like mental weight?
No, not as in not like, not like the waiting in line, as in the patience that some of us lack at times.
I was going a completely different direction on that one, so.
It's all good. But both of us have been dealing with issues with weight.
Mm-hmm.
because it's not necessarily just about being overweight or not, or weighing, you know, what a character does. It's so much more than that.
Right.
I guess you could say it's more of a general health in cosplay as opposed to just weight in cosplay, but we're specifically going to address the weight portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said you had something written up on this, so have at it. I'll let you go first.
Well, I think one thing we should probably start out saying is there. I feel like that there is a big stigma when it comes to weight in general, not just cosplay, but I mean, women are supposed to be this size. Men are supposed to look this way. Mm-hmm. And we're expected to conform to society's ideas of what's pretty or what's handsome, but that's not always the healthiest or what's best for your body. So just as a general, you know, safety warning for anybody who's listening right now, if you have any concerns about your weight, consult a physician first. See what's best for you. Don't take my advice. Don't take Amber's advice without going to a physician. And don't get freaked out by some of the things that we say thinking, oh my God, I need to be a size 2, because that's not at all what we're advocating.
Right.
Just because you're a size 2 does not mean you're healthy. Just as if you're a size 22, that doesn't mean you're healthy there either. Talk to a doctor first, please, for the love of God.
Right. This is not medical advice. Incidentally.
No.
This is cost philosophy, not cost physician for a reason.
I'm not a doctor yet. She's not a doctor.
Correct.
So.
But that's it.
Get out of the way. Because I know that if I didn't bring it up, you were going to bring it up.
Yes, it's kind of obligatory.
Right.
But continue.
All right. As a whole, I think all of us within the cosplay community are actually fairly welcoming and open arms about the issue of weight. That is, anybody can cosplay no matter what size you are. I think a lot of the body dysmorphia comes from outside the community, those who aren't the cosplayers.
You may want to define dysmorphia.
Oh, good Lord.
body shape.
I do feel like that we're supportive within the community. This concept of trying to be a model size to fit into a costume is mostly outside of the community. Those of us who do not cosplay, the ones who don't know how to sew or don't know how to make the props. I know for me personally, I have no problems with you being whatever size you want to be and cosplaying. I think for me, the biggest issue is fit. Because I've seen size 4 cosplayers wearing costumes that are like overly big in the shoulders, or they don't fit at the waist, they look bigger and poofier than they really are. And at the same time, I can see a plus size cosplayer who did the exact same costume and they look fabulous because they made the costume to fit their body shape.
So by fit, you mean tailored?
Tailored look, right.
Okay.
So again, I think it just, a lot of it is trying to figure out what works best for you and what fits to your body. I mean, I know for me and for my size, I'm not going to be able to pick like a little kid costume. I know I'm kind of hiding it right now, but I do have a womanly body. So I'm not going to be cosplaying a bunch of teenagers. I'm going to be cosplaying 20, 30 age something women, because that's going to work what's best for me. But someone who might be plus size might be thinking the same method, but they'll alter the costume in such a way to work for their shape, or they'll decide, you know, I'm going to try to do more fursuits because that might look better on me than, say, doing a slinky dress.
Do you want to speak to any of your personal story as far as dealing with weight and cosplay?
You know, I can't think of any one incident that I personally have. I mean, I've had friends that are all types of weight and sizes who've been talked about behind their backs, and then I'm usually the one to speak up and smack them down and say no.
I mean, as far as the experience of having to tailor your own costumes to your own body.
Mm.
Do you find that to be a problem?
It is a problem. And this is why I make my own patterns. I don't buy commercial patterns because I don't fit commercial patterns. My chest is too big. My butt is too big. Again, I know it doesn't look like it, but it really is. My waist is like this, but then my butt goes like this. And tailoring commercial patterns is a giant pain in my rear that it's like, screw this. I just make my own patterns now. So it's like a billion times easier for me.
Fair enough.
As you sit there laughing at me the entire time.
No, I just have this image in mind of when you say that, my bust is too big, my hips are too big, my waist is tiny. You're kind of describing the problem that most women, I think, have.
Yeah, 99.99% of us have this issue.
Yes, especially cosplayers. And I just had this image in mind of a Microsoft Paint picture of an hourglass.
Yes.
Popping up as you were talking. That's what I was laughing at, is the Microsoft Paint image. And then everybody's sitting there going, that's me!
And I think, and I'm sure you can speak to this too, because, we all think the same way. When we go to a store and buy a pair of pants, no pair of pants ever fits us properly because they're not made to fit us. They're just, everything's such a generic size. And it's like, it fits here, but then it doesn't fit here. Or it fits here, and it doesn't fit up here.
Well, yes, but that's why things are so cheap, is because they're made cookie cutter style as opposed
yeah.
to couture style. Because if you go to a couture house and buy a pair of pants, you can easily pay $500 for a single pair of pants.
Oh, yeah. And
but
then
that pair of pants will fit you like a glove, and you will look spectacular in them. Because
now, if I could afford those pair of pants, that'd be fabulous.
Yes, but that is what couture is. It is specifically meant to fit you
mm-hmm.
as a person, and it's meant to make you look good with your body shape.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what cosplayers end up having to do.
Right.
I know that for me, I'm actually the opposite of you. I love commercial patterns, and I find them incredibly easy to tailor. But
mm-hmm.
that's because I've been blessed in life to have the proportions listed on the envelope.
Yeah, you saw.
I have that, that 36, 30, 38 figure.
Yeah.
But it hasn't always been that way, especially recently. For those who have not followed my DeviantArt, I have embarked on a quest for the last 5 months to lose weight. And while I'm not exactly like the most overweight person in the world, I don't look overweight. But because of societal standards and such, one, I'm considered a plus size model. If I were to walk the catwalk, I am plus size.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
Which seems kind of odd, because if you see me in real life, I'm not a big person. But
she is. You're normal size.
I'm considered actually slightly small by American standards, but I would be slightly
yeah.
large by European standards for our European listeners.
Oh yeah, I'm a large in European standards, and I'm a tiny person, so.
But see, we also have what's called a BMI, which
mm-hmm.
is your body mass index, and it's basically a ratio of your weight to your height. And when I first was seeing my doctor in December, I was told that I was overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Which really stunned me, because I didn't think of myself as overweight.
Right.
And so I needed to drop about 20 pounds so that I could get back to not being overweight, because, a lot of health insurance companies care about this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up having to embark on an exercise regimen. I had to work out 4 days a week at the gym, and I had to, I don't want to say go on a diet, because especially, this isn't necessarily just for cosplayers, but the word diet has a stigma.
It does.
For most people, the notion of diet is taking away foods, whereas I'd prefer to think of it as adding foods that are better for you.
It's kind of the same thing with
away foods, because I
yeah.
think, honestly, that I didn't have to take away anything except for portion size.
Mm-hmm.
I ate the same foods that I've been eating for the last, 27, 28 years of my life. I just eat smaller portions. So I'm not actually taking away, the foods I like to eat. I'm just adding in better foods for me.
Exercise kind of has that same stigma too, because I tell people, yeah, I exercise, and they're like, why? Are you trying to lose weight? No, I exercise to maintain my health, to maintain my flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it to lose the weight. There's no weight I have to lose. I gotta add weight on,
right.
if anything.
And also for women, if you exercise in the gym, you are not going to bulk up.
Oh no.
Do not worry about suddenly coming out of the gym looking like a guy. Women aren't chemically built that way. So
no,
if you
exactly.
work out 7 days a week at the gym, you're not gonna bulk up. Unless you do other things that make you bulk up.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you go to work out and go, you know, change your diet and to do these things for weight, it's because you want to become a healthier person.
Right.
And it certainly makes, you know, making your costumes easier. Because I know as cosplayers, something we have to worry about when we make costumes is, well, what happens when you change size?
Mm-hmm.
Because inevitably, we all change size at some point in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Women even change sizes month to month for fairly obvious physical reasons. Family friendly. But
we'll keep that.
You have to take that into account whenever you're making your costumes. You know,
right.
This is why they have something called ease. Ease is just the little bit of extra.
Spandex.
What?
Spandex.
Fine, ease. Ease is just the little bit of extra you have at the seams so that clothing is comfortable when you wear it.
Right.
So it's not going to choke you to death and make it so that you cannot breathe.
Right.
You can take ease out of clothing if you really want to, but it's there for a reason. So just leave it in there unless you're consciously taking it out.
Mm-hmm.
But ease also accounts for the fact that people can change size.
Exactly.
Once you have hit your target weight as a cosplayer, and this is something, of course, you have to consult with your physician about or a personal trainer at the gym, preferably mm-hmm. one who is certified. But once you have hit that weight, then you have to worry about maintaining it. And this doesn't mean that you have to, you know, hit the gym every single day for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit easier than that, actually. You just have to continue doing the same thing that we all do, most especially at conventions. Just watch what you eat. Make
exactly.
sure you move around adequately. It's really hard for people like me that have a desk job to move around.
Yeah.
I can't really take my desktop with me as I'm walking around.
That would be kind of cool.
They actually make treadmill desks now.
I've seen those. Those are weird.
Very cool.
They are cool, but they're kind of weird at the same time. I'm like, okay, sure, we'll go with this.
They're also extremely expensive.
Expensive, exactly.
But there, you know, there are simpler things people can do than walking on a treadmill at the desk.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
go take your dog out for a walk, you know.
Yeah.
Play fetch with Fido for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, or even, you know, get up in the morning before work and take a lap around your neighborhood.
There you go.
Or at lunch, take a lap around your office building.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly not hard. It can be really hard at conventions.
Yes.
Especially the moving around part, because I know that, you know, when you're in a costume, you don't want to move around as much unless your character is oriented and your costume is oriented that way. Otherwise, you know, cosplayers end up being stationary a lot of the time. I mean, yeah, you
right.
walk around a convention center, but you end up just standing still a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes your metabolism slow down. Although speaking of being in costume, there are actually two reasons why being a healthy weight helps you a lot in cosplay. And the first is actually being able to cool your body off.
Right.
I say this with all respect to people who are overweight. You know, I have been there, but your body, when you sweat, it's trying to cool itself off. And if you have excess weight, one, there's more of you to cool, and two, it's harder for your body to cool off. And for those who have cosplayed for hours on end, it gets warm in those costumes, especially in convention centers. It gets
mm-hmm.
really warm. And of course, you're going to sit there and start sweating. So not having the excess weight can help you cool off. But the other thing that it helps with is for those that do walk around a lot in conventions, heaven knows, you can walk easily 7 miles in a day at these convention
right.
centers. But it's a lot easier on your legs if you don't have all the excess weight to carry around. Which is why they advocate when you go to the gym that men and women should do some weightlifting, and that's to give strength to your bones so that they can carry your body
exactly.
around.
Exactly.
Again, weightlifting is not going to make you bulk up. I lift 4 days a week at the gym, and I'm scrawny. Yeah, I have
okay.
muscle, but I'm scrawny.
I have been lifting weights since I was probably 12 years old, and I got nothing. I got nothing, man. And I still lift weights, so
Yeah, so
There you
you're
go.
going to bulk up unless you weightlift like 3 or 4 hours a day at the gym and you're taking extra testosterone, which we
Exactly.
So yes, you should weightlift at the gym to help build bone strength, especially if you're, women who are of a slightly older age. And, watch what you eat, make sure you're getting what the vitamins you need, preferably through food. You can take supplements, but again, consult with your doctor first because some supplements actually do interact with patients in a very poor way.
Very, very badly. And actually, I can speak to the two things that you suggested as being someone of a smaller size. It does affect those of us who are skinnier too, because sometimes people think, oh, you're skinny, you probably can run a mile. A lot of us really can't. We probably peter out at a half a mile mark, if that. So just because you're tiny doesn't mean you have all this excess energy. It can do whatever you want. Being tiny can also mean that you're not as healthy. And I know for me, because I am the way I am, I get heat stroke really easily.
Right.
Doesn't help that I'm Irish Catholic white. So, being overweight and being underweight has both issues. And
Right.
part of what my job is, and it's kind of helping me through cosplay, is I'm actually trying to get weight back onto my body. As odd as that may sound to some people, it will help me out in the long run.
Because your body does need a certain amount of muscle and fat to be
Exactly.
healthy. And of course, that's something you have to set with a doctor because everyone's body frame is different.
Exactly.
Now, I will be blunt. I was built to bear kids. So for me, being 100 pounds is not healthy. It doesn't suit my body frame. So as far as that goes, I have to work with my cosplays to make sure they fit someone of my body frame, that they hang correctly, and that they're not, pinching in places where I'm wider.
Right.
And you also want to make sure, of course, not only with this being a family-friendly podcast, but most conventions being family-friendly, that you cover up what needs to be covered up.
Cover up the
Yes.
good
So there are ways. Just work with it. Work with yourself.
Be creative.
Yeah, be creative and don't be ashamed to modify
Exactly.
what you need to. 'Cause,
I think that really is the big thing, is just be proud of your body, be happy with your body. If you're concerned about it, go to a doctor. It's really, don't try to force yourself into a certain body type just because the rest of the world expects that of you. Do what's good for you and do what's good for your health.
Because, like Val said, it's only the people who have not been there who are going to judge you.
Exactly. All of it, I mean, even the weird, crazy, rude people within the community, they're so few and far between, you're probably never going to meet them. Cosplayers as a whole, we are so supportive and protective of one another that we will slam someone down if they're mean to you. And we'll slam them hard.
I mean, we've all been there. I'm actually dealing with some appearance issues myself because after losing all this weight, I still have cellulite. And 95% of women have it. But at the same time, when people take pictures of you and they look at it, it's the non-cosplayers who are sitting there going, "Ew, that's gross." Cosplayers understand.
Yeah,
They've been there.
we all have it.
Exactly. We're all human beings, so.
Supermodels have cellulite for the love of crap.
So making fun of it in a way is kind of a little hypocritical, which is why cosplayers just don't do it because we know that,
We know better.
we're in the same boat.
Exactly. We understand.
So of course, we can't stress this enough. We are not medical professionals. All of this is just, philosophical, our opinionated musings. If you
Yes.
have any issues, see your doctor, see a nutritional expert, see a dietitian or a personal trainer. Don't be ashamed of talking to a medical professional about your issues because they are there to help you.
Exactly.
And of course, we are there to help you too with moral support.
We're definitely the moral support kings or queens, I should say.
Yes. And so that, I believe, is our cost philosophy segment.
Yep.
All the cosplay without the weight.
This starts a series on the planning and construction of armor and props. Today's segment will be about the planning and design phase. Now, the very first thing you should do, once you've determined which armor or prop you want to make, is to find pictures of the item. You don't need a ton of pictures, though that might help you. But you do need at least one full picture of the character who wields or wears the item. A full picture meaning from head to toe, not cropped. No shortcuts. Haha, bad pun. Preferably with the item in the picture. So if it's a sword, you need a picture of the character actually having the sword in their hand. If it's armor, you should get a picture of the character actually wearing the armor. In this case, I'll be planning out the shoulder armor that Lena Inverse wears in the series Slayers, which is an anime series from back in the 90s, so I found a full shot of the official figurine. It doesn't really matter what size the picture is, but it's better to have a bigger, higher resolution shot so that you can see the details more easily. It also makes it easier to measure, which is the next part. Take a picture of the item and choose a zoom setting. This needs to stay consistent the entire time you're working with the picture. Now, in my case, I'm working with 100% zoom, since the picture that I have is detailed enough that I don't have to zoom in any farther. This is where high resolution helps. The higher resolution, the less you may have to zoom in to see all the details. Once you've set the picture where you want it, keep it there, and then go and find a ruler. What you'll want to do is to measure the height of the person on your screen. Now, since most computer screens are limited in height, your measurement is probably going to be somewhat small, and that's okay. If you have a 14-inch height measurement on your character on screen, something's wrong. Now, of course, if you're outside of the United States, one of our international watchers, first of all, welcome to the podcast! We love you guys. Feel free to use metric measurements. Eventually, we in the United States will catch up with the metric system. Eventually. Next thing you want to do is to measure your own height. You probably won't be able to do this with a ruler unless you're a gnome or maybe fae, which if you are, that's fantastic. But if not, tape measures are fairly easy to come by. You can find them in your local hardware store. If you want a cloth measure, you can always go to any sewing or hobby store. They're inexpensive. Make sure that you're accurate when you measure your own height. Being fairly short or very tall is nothing to be ashamed of. We're all different. I happen to be a little on the short side, and that's okay. As they say, it just means that I don't hit my head on tree branches that are low-hanging. Make sure you write down both measurements separately, the height of your character on screen and the height of you as a person. The next step is a little bit harder, mostly because it involves educated guessing. I'll explain. You'll want to take the length measurement of the item that you want to make from the picture you have on your computer screen. Of course, if you have a sword, it means you want the length of the sword. If you have armor, it means you need the length of the armor. In this case, I'm measuring the length of the pauldrons. The educated guessing comes in here because the pauldrons aren't flat. They're actually curved in a sort of tunnel or half-dome shape. So I kind of have to make a guess as to where the center of the upper edge actually is, since it's a little harder to tell. Note that the blue line I've drawn in this picture is slanted, since the pauldron itself is slanted in the picture. You need to make sure when measuring that you follow any curvature that's shown. So make sure that your measurements are parallel to whichever axis you're measuring on. You can use a cloth tape measure if needed, or you can use the age-old measure using a piece of yarn method and then hold the piece of yarn up to an actual ruler to get your measurement. Write this measurement down. You should have three measurements by now. Three, sir, three. Not two, nor four, and five is right out. You get the idea. Make sure that each set of measurements, the set for your picture on screen and the set for you as a person, use the same units of measure. If you measure in inches, stick with inches for all of them. If you measure in centimeters, that's fine. Stick with those. Using feet or meters is fine too. You'll probably end up using a few more decimal points. Just be consistent, because that becomes important later. If you really want to use millimeters, go ahead. You'll end up working with a lot of powers of 10, and the part that comes later will take a while. So here's my list of measurements. Lena's figurine on screen was about 5.5 inches, while the pauldron was about 3/4 inch long. Now again, I had to use a little bit of creative guessing because of the curvature. So I measured down what I thought was the center of the item. Since most items aren't box-shaped, you might actually have multiple measurements depending on the shape of the item. In this case, the pauldrons are pentagonal shaped, so I will end up having multiple measurements for the width, because it's wider in different places. Now for the height, I'm 5'7" tall. Yes, I'm a little on the short side. I have to thank my genetics for that. So in total inches, that's 67. The length of the pauldrons I'm going to make for myself is what I need to figure out. And for that, I need a little bit of math. Yay, math! So here comes the math part. I know this isn't grade school, you're not getting paid for doing this, but I promise this is where we answer that age-old question, when am I ever gonna use this? The answer is now. We're going to do a little bit of algebra and work with proportions. This is also where consistency in your measurements comes in. What you need to do first is set up a fraction with the height of your character in the numerator. That's the number on top, for those who have forgotten. The length of the item on screen, the item that the character is carrying or wearing, goes in the denominator, which is on the bottom. Then you'll set up a second fraction with your height as a person in real life on top in the numerator, and an unknown on bottom. Feel free to use whatever symbol you like. You can use letters, you can use infinity symbols, you can use little anime drawings, you can use whatever you like. Either way, this is what you're solving for. You'll need to cross-multiply to solve a proportion. If you need a refresher on cross-multiplication to solve proportions, the internet probably has 10,000 tutorials on it. The whole point of doing the measurement thing and having to do math is for accuracy and proper proportion. This is so that the item will look correct on you when you're wearing it or wielding it compared to the original. So that if the figurine is carrying a 6-inch sword, you won't be carrying a 6-inch sword. You will be carrying a 6-foot sword, if that's what it means. Note that these aren't the end-all be-all of numbers. If the figure is drawn in typical anime style and has exaggerated armor or props, Final Fantasy, you can alter the measurements. No one is going to sue you for not wanting to make a 14-foot wingspan if it's impractical, no matter what the picture on screen shows, and no matter what the numbers say. So if the character has an 8-foot sword and you want to bring that down to 6, that's okay. You can do that. These are more of just guidelines. On a side note, I usually round my numbers to the nearest 1/8 inch, since that's easiest for me to handle. Rounding isn't required, but it does make drawing the patterns easier later. Can you find 0.136 on a ruler? If you find a digital ruler that can do that, let me know, because I'd love to get one. If not, I totally claim patent on it. I would love a digital ruler that tells me exactly where to draw lines. Repeat the same process that we just did for the main measurements of the item or armor, and that would be width, height, and depth or thickness if it's applicable. Not all items will have thickness. If the picture is 2D, and most of them are, you can't really accurately measure curvature that well, since it's just a representation of what it would be in 3D. So that'll be another one of the educated guessings. If you do happen to find a picture and you have a 3D modeling program, feel free to use it and to measure the curvature that way. I mean, by all means, accuracy is a good thing. In this case, every time you repeat the process, the proportions will work in the same way. The first fraction will always have the character's height on top and the measurement of the item, the prop or the armor, on bottom. The second fraction will always have your height in real life on top, and the unknown at the bottom, which is representing the actual measurement of the item that you're going to make. And then you solve it for each thing, and write down your result. Make sure you label it so you know which thing it went with. You should be happy for me. I did math for you! Normally as a musician, because that's one of my side jobs, I only have to be able to count to 4, but... just kidding. Musician's joke, and a bad joke. Using these proportions, these are the measurements that I obtained for the pauldrons that I'll be making for myself. Do note that I rounded all of them to the nearest 1/8 inch. Again, this is for ease in drawing the patterns later. Also note that I have 2 width measurements. This is because Lena's pauldrons, again, are not box-shaped. That's to say that they're not square or rectangular. Most props and armor aren't.
they're actually pentagonal shaped. So they're a different width at the center than they are at the top. So I went ahead and took both measurements and calculated for both on myself as well. This will make more sense when I actually draw the pattern. Next step. I take a full sheet of poster board, which I believe is 22 by 28 inches. You can find them at most hobby stores, and actually you can find them now at Walmart and Target and such around school season. You can tape together two half sheets if you want to, or you can tape together as many sheets as you like. Basically, all this is for is making patterns. You don't even have to use poster board. You can use fabric, you can use cardboard, whichever suits the material that you're going to use. Just use a similar stiffness. So I take my poster board, and I grid it in the units that I use to measure. For me, it's normally inches. For you, it might be something else. It might be centimeters. This is where you find out that using millimeters really doesn't help you, because gridding poster board in millimeters would take forever, and it would be kind of a little overkill. It still does take a little bit of time to grid a piece of poster board in inches, but it's a lot faster than millimeters, and it does help later. I actually do mark the poster board as you see it on screen here in the picture. I take a red pen for the horizontal lines, and I have a blue pen for the vertical lines. It just makes it easier for me to see. I'm a very, very visual person, and that makes it easier for me to differentiate where different points are on the board. But if you want to use pencil, black pen, colored markers, highlighters, whatever floats your boat, feel free. Use whatever suits your fancy. I really don't recommend that you use Sharpie, because the fumes are very nasty, not to mention toxic, and you'll have just drawn a bunch of lines that are giving off those fumes. So seriously, don't use Sharpie. Another thing, if you use ballpoint pens, make sure that the ink is dry before moving the ruler, or else the ink smears. That's just the nature of the pen and the rulers. It doesn't hurt the pattern. It's just really rather annoying when the ink smears, and it gets all over your hands too. And I do speak from experience. Usually when I'm done with my patterns, the heels of my hands are all red and blue. And it's, like I said, doesn't hurt anything, it's just rather annoying. Thankfully it's washable. The next thing I do is to take a highlighter, colored marker, something thicker than a typical ballpoint pen, and I draw out the lines using the measurements that I calculated earlier. Basically what this is doing is drawing the skeleton of the pattern. You can see here that the longest line is the length. That's the one going horizontally across the screen. And the two widths are indicated by the vertical lines. These need to be accurate since this is the skeleton on which your pattern is built. Of course, the graphic that you see here is just a representation of a piece of poster board. Else this would totally be the smallest piece of poster board ever, and it would be fantastic for making doll-sized props and armor. This is why I grid in inches. It's actually really easy for me to count out squares of inches whenever I need to mark down the length of lines, and then I just use a ruler if I need to mark fractions of an inch. Although, with as often as I've done this, I've actually gotten really good at eyeballing half an inch, quarter of an inch, that sort of thing. I just need the ruler for eighth of an inch now. Here's where I add to the pattern piece. The first thing I did was to connect the main measurement lines, so to fill in the skeleton, giving me the basic shape of the armor. Those are the thick black lines that you see, and they define the edges of the pattern. Those are also the cutting lines that you'll be using when you're done, when you go to cut out the pattern. You can see that I've also sketched in the other details on the pattern. The golden edging, if you refer back to the original picture. The raised section at the top, which is the little half dome or the tunnelish looking thing with the red bobble. And the arrow-like piece in the center. Now, granted, of course, this is still a 2D representation, so it doesn't exactly look like the original, but it will in the end, because I've accounted for curvature. Like I said, if you have 3D modeling software, I say go for it, go ahead and use it if you want to make your patterns this way. If you don't, you'll just have to work in 2D. This is like those little tests you had in middle school where they gave you the unfolded box and said, what will this look like folded up? You can calculate the measurements on all the details on your pieces if you want to. You can actually go through the math. For example, on this, The thickness of the golden band that goes around the outside, I could have calculated the actual mathematical width of that, but you can also make an educated guess, which is what I did. So basically I have my pattern piece here with all the details drawn in. At this point, there's a couple of considerations you need to make. The first is the material that you're going to use for your final product. If you plan to make the item with fabric at all, you'll need to add a seam allowance to your pattern piece. Basically all that is just a buffer all the way around an empty space that accounts for the fact that you need room for your sewing machine to sew, or for you to hand sew. Usually commercially here in the United States, the average seam allowance is 5/8 of an inch, but you're welcome to use 3/8 of an inch, you can use 1/8, you can use whatever that your hand sewing or sewing machine will accommodate. Just make sure that you do include it if you are going to sew in any form. Also, if your item has curvature, you'll need to adjust the pattern slightly to account for the fact that materials do shorten on top when they're bent, and they lengthen underneath. You can actually test this, you'll get what I mean. If you take two sheets of colored paper, put one on top of the other, and then curve it in a half dome or a sort of tunnel shape, the upper sheet will appear to be slightly shorter than the one on bottom. So if you have any pieces or adornments on top of your prop or armor that need to be curved, you may need to make them slightly longer than you would normally to meet the edges of the bottom when you curve it. If you need to make notes on your pattern, for example, if you need to mark, you know, which side is the top versus the bottom, if one end needs to face a certain direction or connect to a certain piece, or if you need just general construction notes, go ahead and do that now. Lastly, before you cut the piece out, label it. You will thank yourself later when all of your pieces get dropped on the floor and mixed together. Or if you end up having to come back to your pattern a year later and you need to know which pieces are which, especially if you're like me and have a ton of patterns all in little paper boxes. And yes, I do speak from experience. All of my pattern pieces are tucked into Office Max paper boxes. I did not label them the first time. So putting them back together again was like assembling a puzzle without an original picture to work from or instructions. So just save yourself the time and go ahead and label them. And label them descriptively. So if it's pauldron, put pauldron. If it is only for the left-hand side of your body, put left-hand pauldron or just left pauldron. But otherwise, you should end up with finished pattern pieces with notes and grids and correct proportions.
Alright, so when you're finished with everything, you should end up getting a pattern that looks somewhat like this. This is the full pattern to the pauldron that you saw on screen. I know the measurements aren't quite exact. I actually made this pattern long before I learned about the whole proportions and accuracy thing, unfortunately. But it does actually fit me as a person. I did measure it to myself, at any rate. So, of course, you can see all the little grid lines. These are in inches, of course. You can see where I added the edging. This is the upraised area, which I actually, this has been cut out, and I curved it when I actually made the pauldron. In fact, you'll see that there's quite a few cutting lines here. This pattern has been cut apart to use it as a mask, but I always reassemble them in the end just so that I can keep the whole pattern, and I just tape it to a manila envelope so that I can keep all my pieces together. And you can see here that I have labeled it Lena Inverse Pauldron. Now, of course, I have all the other little pieces that go to it as well. These are some of the upraised bits. You can see I've labeled those. This is the yellow foam border here at the top. This is the front border that goes around the raised area. And this is the actual pattern for the raised dome part itself for the 3D effect. So as you can see, I had to adjust my pattern pieces a little bit. I had to make new ones to account for the fact that when this curves, well, that wasn't a very good curve, but when things curve, they change shape, more or less. So I ended up having two sets of pattern pieces instead of one. And I do apologize for the lighting. I'm still kind of learning it. We have a new lighting system. I'm not going to point the camera at it because you'd be blinded, but hopefully it will enlighten. Oh god, another bad pun. Hopefully it will make it easier for you guys to see these segments in the future. So I do apologize while I'm learning how to fine-tune it and my camera to adjust to it as well. But this is the end of part one of armor planning and construction. Hope you enjoy. All right, and that is the end of episode 9. We hope you guys enjoyed our content this time, as always.
Hopefully, as always, good gravy. If you're not enjoying it by now, please tell us, because then we'll just change stuff around.
Yeah, we have no problems changing the podcast. I mean, if you want it longer, shorter, please don't ask us to do it every week, because we want you to stay sane.
Please don't. We're not at that point yet.
But
please don't.
If you have topics you'd like us to cover, if you know somebody that would like to be a guest on the show, if you know anyone who would like to guest host with us, perhaps.
If you want to make a tutorial.
Yeah, we are certainly open to other ideas. Feel free to contact us at podcast@costpod.org. We're really friendly people, and if you're really cool, you might get a double response from us. Because we both monitor the same mailbox, so sometimes both of us respond independently. So you get
not realizing responses. That we respond independently.
Yeah.
Whoops.
But speaking of participating with the podcast, we still have slots available for the roundtable. We have people joining us this time. Yay! I'm so happy and excited.
It's like a kitty clap. Yay!
Well, I wasn't doing a seal clap, so it could be worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, our next roundtable, the topic is age in cosplay. Young and old alike are welcome. The roundtable will be May 13th, that is a Sunday, at 3 p.m., that is Central Daylight Time, because we are in Dallas.
Which means 4 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Mountain, and 1 p.m. Pacific.
Yep, and other times in other places.
Yes. If you need me to look it up, I'll Google it, but I'm going to be honest, I hate time zones. Please just Google it yourself, because I will fail miserably at it.
But if you would like to join us, again, you can email us podcast@costpod.org, or you can tweet us @costpodcast, or you can leave us a comment on our Facebook wall, which I believe is /cosplaypodcast.
Got it.
Huzzah!
Turn up on the Facebook. This is good.
There's any myriad number of ways. I mean, you can even note us on our DeviantArt.
Yeah.
Any way you'd like to contact us, we will take people up until, you know, the day that we're doing the roundtable. You do not have to have video if you don't want to, but at a minimum, you do need to have audio, and we will be recording it.
Yes.
This is kind of the whole point of the roundtable, is for us to hear what you have to say. It's otherwise it would just be us two talking heads, which you get every, you know, 2 weeks anyway.
Which I'm sure some of you don't mind, because you seem to keep watching us. So I guess that's a good thing.
That's actually a really nice segue.
Segue!
Speaking of the health of the podcast, I guess we should actually tell people how we're doing, because it's good to let the listeners know, you know, the health of our podcast. The first thing I would like to say, actually, is thank you to those of us that are watching the show.
Those of us? Those of you.
Thank you. I told you I'm tired. Those of you who are watching and listening to the show, thank you. Without you guys, we'd just be two talking heads on Skype.
And say, we've been doing really, really well too, especially, I mean, most podcasts probably don't last up to episode 10 because the views are non-existent. And for us, we've been averaging about 4,200 to 4,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome. That's ridiculously awesome.
Yeah. We have been adding, I think, Deviant Watchers every week.
Yes.
If not every day. I haven't kept up as much on the Facebook just because it's harder for me to check on it. But I think we've also been adding followers on Facebook and likes.
Yeah, we've been getting more and more followers on Facebook. That's usually my domain. So that's been adding up pretty nicely.
Yep. Mine is primarily the website. We've been getting somewhere between 15 and 20 downloads per episode per month,
mm-hmm.
which is actually very good considering that we have 8 episodes, 9 by the time this drops coming.
I know that sounds weird from people. It's like, so wait, there's so few downloads. How are there so many views? We actually have stuff embedded on the website. You can watch it on the website. You don't have to download it. So
right.
That's why.
Yeah, we actually have it loaded on our YouTube channel, and it's mm-hmm. embedded directly into the website so that you can watch it without actually having to, you know, load it into your cache.
Right.
Which is why our view count is so wildly varying. But still, you know, for a first-time podcast, thank you. We are actually doing fairly well. We actually had somebody comment that they were really surprised that there's only two of us running the podcast based on what we've done. There's really just two of us.
It really is just the two of us. We get more help.
We don't hire extra help. Nobody is paid to manage our website. Nobody's paid to post-produce our episodes. We pay for our own equipment.
Yep.
It really is just the two of us running the whole thing. And it's a lot of work, but it is a lot of fun.
Why we beg for help and why we beg for content from people. Because we want to know what you want to know, and then we'll do it.
Yeah, because we don't have, you know, paid consulting firms telling us what the people like.
Yes.
So we go directly to the people and ask you, what would you like us to cover? Speaking of coverage, we actually could use your help as the audience on this. We can't afford to go to every convention.
Yeah.
We just don't have the money, the time, you know, the resources to make it to every single convention. Because there's literally an anime convention every single weekend in the United States alone.
Most of them are in Florida.
Well, location aside, for those of you in the audience who have iPhones, camcorders, Androids, anything that will take video, or if you'd like to throw together a slideshow, basically, if you can film a segment at your convention of choice, you can send it to us and be a guest correspondent, kind of like The Daily Show.
There you go.
And, you know, provided that it's family friendly.
Of course.
That it has the content and that it's in the correct format for us to use, which you can always email us and we'll give you the information on what we need as far as technical specs. But we'll air it on the podcast.
And you'll get full credit for it, too. So it's not like we're going to skimp you and say, oh, we did this. No, no, no. We'll link it to you. We'll put so many freaking links up and back to your homepage or
right.
Your YouTube or your Facebook or whatever you'd like.
And we generally don't edit. And I say generally because the only reason we really edit any of even our own segments is for time.
Right.
So, you know, we don't take ownership of anything that you send us. All we do is edit maybe for the time slot that we need it and put it up on the podcast.
Exactly.
So if you would like to be a guest correspondent and send us, you know, photos, slideshows, any sort of filmography segment from a convention, feel free. You can send it, and I will give you the information to access that. And then drop us a segment, and, you know, we'll take care of things from there.
Exactly.
Speaking of conventions, anime is coming up.
Anime!
Fanime and Akon.
Yay!
We
I'm
have,
so tired already.
3 weeks until Fanime and a little over four, I think, for Akon.
Oh, man. I'm already thinking in my head, I'm going to be so wiped out.
I'm already wiped out.
No. Just thinking about it is making me exhausted.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, you know, in theory, it was like, I could totally do this. Because I didn't realize that they were so close to each other until I scheduled everything.
I know the feeling.
Crap! What the hell did I do?
All right. Well, as usual, you can find our podcast. Please spread the word. If you know people who would like to listen or participate, you can find us at cospod.org. Our Facebook is Facebook.com/cosplaypodcast. Our Twitter.
Twitter here.
Twitter is at cospodcast. DeviantArt. We are simply
DA here.
For DeviantArt, we are simply cospod.
Yes. You can, that one's really easy.
Of course, you can always Google us. You can just Google cospod. COSPOD. All one word.
Sweet. Are we the first ones to come up now?
I think we're second or third.
We're first. We're first, sweet. We're second, we're third, we're fourth, we're fifth.
You can also find us on YouTube. I believe we are Cosplay Podcast there.
Yes.
I'm trying to think, is there anywhere else they can find us?
There's
all the places they can find us.
I think that's it. Even Elemental has a note about us on her Tumblr, so.
Yes.
We have made the Google. The Google first page is all us.
All right. One last word I would like to say to Radcast. I believe Adam has been on leave from the podcast for personal reasons, and I would like to say that from the both of us, I think I can speak for both of us, that we would like to send our support to him, and I hope everything works out for you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with
that, you guys, we love you guys at Radcast. Even though you're more of an adult show, we really do appreciate you, and we both listen to you. So,
and on that note, we'll catch you guys in episode 10. Bye,
guys.